recordings that go all over the world. Was it Beverly who had a language, or was it Joyce? Joyce, you had you asked me what language is the Bible written in. The Old Testament is written in Greek. I mean, in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament, most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Some parts of the Old Testament are written in Chaldee or Aramaic. Okay? When they were hauled off into captivity, when they went to Babylon, part of the book of Daniel is written in Chaldee. Okay? It's a little different. Your lexicons are, I don't think I've got one that you can read here, but off of it, maybe. No? It's all covered up with duct tape, you know, because they're worn out. This is a Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, okay? And you'll see the different words. When we go to the words and we study the text of the Hebrew Bible, we will tell you what root, where that word came from, okay? Now, this is a test tonight, okay? We are going to look at the word amen right now, quickly. The word amen. Amen. Okay. Brother Steve, where did amen come from? What language? Where did it originate? Pamela.
What is the
Persian? Persian. All right. It went from Persian to what language?
Hebrew.
And it went from Hebrew to what language?
Greek.
Greek. It didn't change. It's the same word. Okay. And it went from Greek to what language?
English.
But what does it mean? To prop up. To prop up. It means to support, to prop up, to stand by it, to affirm. And it's in Greek, it's a particle of affirmation, okay, which means yes, or most assuredly, something like that. Now, let's look at the word paradise. Paradiso, Perez. What is that word? Where did that word originate? Christine.
Where did it originate?
Yes. What language, verse language, where it came from?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Somebody else want to guess? Stephen.
I was
thinking Greek. Nope. How about it, Brother Abe? Paradise. Paradise. Maryland.
Persian.
Oh. All right. It's Persian. And then it went into Hebrew. Paradise. And then it went into what? Greek. And then it came into English. And what does it mean? A guarded pleasure park. A guarded pleasure park. That's what paradise means. Okay, now the Old Testament. Now we find out that the Bible, why did God use the Hebrew language to express the book of Genesis and the other ones? Brother Roger.
Well, you said before to show the act of creation.
The act of creation. The act of creation. Now, we believe in creation, not evolution. Creation, not evolution. Okay? Some religions believe in evolution. Okay? One to speak of, the Islamic people, the Muslims always say, we don't have any trouble with evolution. We believe that Jews evolved from apes and pigs. That's what they evolved from, apes and pigs, except their cousins. So does that mean they're cousins to apes and pigs? Anyway, that's what they say. They don't have any problem with evolution. We do. We have problems with evolution. There are many ideas of creation out here today that are not sound. And we will look at some of them. Now we have the Greek New Testament. If I took this one word here, which is the definite article in Greek, okay? Let's put one up there in Hebrew, too. There's one in Hebrew, okay? The Greek definite article. Brother Abe, what in the world did I write up there? What is that?
Greek.
It's Greek, all right, but what is it?
Ho.
Ho. Thank you, Marilyn. Okay, what does ho mean here? Tell me this sentence right here, that a definite article is something that describes the person that it's describing, pointing to in number, gender, and case. Tell me what this says here, Brother Roger.
Nominative, singular, masculine.
It's nominative, singular, masculine. In other words, this is the case of the subject. So you can't take this one out here and say this isn't the subject. It is the subject. You can't take it and put it someplace else. It's going to, just the definite article tells you that. Nothing else. What's that?
Logos.
Logos. What does that mean?
Word.
Word. All right. And the Hebrew equivalent of that is?
Devar.
Okay, now tell me about this. Remember, in your Bible it says, in the beginning was the Word. John 1 and 1, doesn't it? Okay, now let's look what the Bible really says. Now, Greek evolved in a language. It's the most perfect language that was ever used by human beings. Okay? It is the most definite language there ever was. And guess what? God made his New Testament, inspired it in that language, because it can't be twisted. Okay? Now, if you go back, I'm going to give you a little bit as we go and look at this word some more, okay? We're going to go back in the what we call the dialects of the Greek language. The dialects go back to what? What period of time in history?
Like 1400 B.C.
Thousands B.C. 2 or 3,000 B.C. Long time ago. Now, God allowed these people, inspired these people to use this language, because that's the language that he was going to put his Bible in, his New Testament in. Okay. Now, when Jesus came along, you asked me a question earlier that Jesus spoke Aramaic. Jesus spoke Greek. He spoke Greek. Now, we had, remember the movie called Passion? Now, in that movie, they have him speaking Aramaic, but the movie is not inspired, is it? What language did he speak?
Greek.
What Bible did he quote?
Septuagint.
The Septuagint. And the Septuagint is what?
Greek.
The Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. That's what he was doing. And you can see that in all of this. Now, you didn't know that before tonight, did you? Okay. All right. So now the Greek language evolved into the what we call from the dialects into what we call classical Greek. Oh, that was a high form of Greek. How in the world did it get such high form? Well, God dealt with these people and used this language to them to develop this language. I believe that he did that. Like the Bible scholars or prophets were inspired, I believe that God actually allowed these people to develop this language that was so perfect, because he was going to use it to put his New Testament in. And not only that, but after the Israel was carried off into captivity, during Alexander the Great's time. Now, Alexander the Great, now, we're talking about Koine Greek. We're not talking about classical Greek. Koine Greek began somewhere around 400, 500 B.C., okay? Now, it's a little bit different form than classical Greek. There are some very high classical words used in Greek. And there's two books in the New Testament that uses, well, three in the New Testament that uses those languages. Classical, a lot. Which two or three books in the New Testament? Huh? Luke is one. Okay, and what else? The book of Acts, which was written by Luke. And then one other book, which was written by a classical Greek scholar. Who was that? What book was that? The book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was not written by the Apostle Paul. Why is not the book of Hebrews written by the Apostle Paul? Because so many people say that, but these people are not scholars, language scholars. Why? Because he quoted the Septuagint and he did not know Hebrew. He made some mistakes because he wasn't a Hebrew scholar, and we know that the Apostle Paul was, wasn't he? He knew Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew, biblical Hebrew in his home, not Aramaic, biblical Hebrew, okay, which was very rare at that time. Most Jews communicated the Bible in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation. Now we come up to 335, 331 B.C., and that is when now we're going to change the Hebrew Old Testament into the Greek Septuagint. There were supposed to be 72 scholars down in Alexandria, Egypt, that went in different cells in this monastery, or whatever you want to call it back then. They went into these cells, hotel rooms, and they all came out with exactly the same translation of the Old Testament. If you believe that, you want to buy the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, I mean, I'll sell that to you. You know, that's good. You know, but that's what we call the legends. Legends are not always fact, of course. But they did use it. Jesus corrected the Septuagint in places. We know that. I have corrected the Septuagint. If you've been in my classes, when we go into the Hebrew Bible, we say, what should the Septuagint, the Greek translation of this, be? Now, this isn't going to be above your girls' heads now. Don't get scared, okay? All right. We're learning some history of the Bible right now. This is not to flabbergast you with high-sounding $10 words or anything. We're just talking, okay? So now we have the Old Testament written and translated into Hebrew, so they're using this language because they had forgotten it, okay? I can tell you a whole lot of history of the Talmud and the Mishnah and all that, but we won't go into that. When Jesus came along, the Jews were speaking Greek. All commerce was done in Greek. Now, we have the Roman Empire in power, don't we? And what many people think, what language was the language of the Roman Empire?
Greek.
Latin, but was it?
Greek.
Some of the legal language, yes, the legal terms and the legal language. All legal terms in English come from the Latin. All medical terms come from the Greek, okay? The Greek borrows some words from Hebrew, we know. Amen and paradise, okay? Jesus was speaking Greek and quoting the Greek Septuagint in the synagogues. They were studying it like this. When it came to the festivals and stuff, they used their Aramaic or their Hebrew. Most Hebrews would not speak biblical Hebrew because they thought it was too holy of a language to do. That was for the Word of God only, so they didn't do that. And that was the problem. Now, your Jews today will tell you they did all the way back, but they're not telling you the truth. History tells you otherwise, doesn't it? When they were, the Babylonian Talmud, which was the commentary on the Old Testament, was written in what language?
Arabic.
It's Arabic, okay? It was in Arabic, and they wrote that in Arabic. It was written in French. It was written in all kinds of languages. Wherever they went, German. Where did the modern translations of the Hebrew language come from? The modern, how they say the language today?
German.
It's Yiddish, German. Now they'll swear up and down that's the way they did it all these years, but that isn't. The earliest Hebrew commentaries we have from a language standpoint come from biblical scholars that go way back in church history. Okay? And that language is different than the Jews were using at that time, of course. And they handed that down. Some of the greatest language scholars were the Germans. And they give almost all the grammars that we have in Greek and Hebrew are from German. Kyle and DeLeish, the Hebrew Old Testament commentary, is Kyle and DeLeish. What language do you think that is? Getterman. What does German mean, by the way? German.
Spearman.
Huh? Spearman. Getterman. Spear. They carried these long spears, and they were shoulder to shoulder, and they'd lower them when they go conquering the conqueror. And they call them spearmen. That's what the word German means. All right, she did pretty good. Do you know the teacher or something? You met him? All right, let's go on. Now, we come to the New Testament. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. Matthew through Revelation. Let's get back to this word logos now. Tell me about this. This shouldn't be translated word, should it? What should it be translated? In the beginning was the Word. That's what John 1:1 said, wasn't it? Tell me what it should say.
Jehovah.
Okay, in the beginning kept on being Jehovah. Why are we putting the word Jehovah in there? Jared.
Because the word was a Hebrew.
Hebraism.
Because in Hebrew they used the word instead of the sacred name of God.
Okay, Exodus 20 and verse 7. Somebody read me Exodus 20 and verse 7. Young lady, do you have that? One of you girls there? Exodus 20, verse 7. We'elei Shemot. That's what it is. The book Exodus, the name Exodus, by the way, where does the name Exodus come from? Exodus. The name Exodus.
Greek.
Greek. All of your Old Testament names for the books are not from Hebrew. They are from Greek because of the Greek Septuagint. Exodus 20 and verse 7. All right, the young lady, what do you have there?
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
When God revealed that law in Hebrew through the prophet Moses, the Jews never spoke the name of God again. They were afraid to use his name. And that name was this word right here, which we do not know how to say. Now, we translate this word as what from the King James?
Jehovah.
There's no way to say it. You cannot say that word. Okay, now I want to make an example of why you can't say it. Okay, here's Jehovah, the name Jehovah. Now, this is four consonants. We have a yod, hey, wow, yod. Or hey, that is. Now, I want to take the vowels out of this name right here, Jehovah, and I want you to pronounce it. Say it right now, Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Okay, now, we're going to take the vowels out of it. Now say it. Can't say it, can you? All right. Let's do one other real simple word. Okay. Say that one.
Jesus.
Jesus. Now, let's take the vowels out of it. Now say it. Can you say it? No.
Dad.
Well, I don't know how they said this name here. We don't know. People say Jehovah and all that, Yahweh, all of this kind of stuff. But now how would you literally say this word? We have a yod and then we have a ho. So it'd be ho. Ho. That's all. There's no other way you can say it. But when they came to that name in the Hebrew Bible, the Jews would say Havavar, the word, or Hashem, the name. So now when John wrote the Gospel according to John, he wrote it in a Hebrew, what we call a Hebraism or a Hebraistic idea, when it says, in beginning, third person singular, in archein ho logos. In beginning, singular beginning. That's the oldest verse in the Bible. It goes back in time, back in eternity past. Way back there kept on being Jehovah when nothing else was. That's what it means. It's singular. And we're going to look at the difference with Genesis 1 and 1. In beginning, third person singular and perfect indicative act that the word ain, he kept on being. A continuous action. He kept on being the whole logos. Now, how do we say this, whole logos? How should you translate it? The Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because Jehovah kept on being God. And now we have what we call the Jehovah Witness brethren that say the word was a God, which does total violence to the grammar. There is no indefinite article in Greek, is there? What's an indefinite article? A or an.
They actually changed that version.
They did it for what they believe.
Yeah, but they've changed it again to kind of make their belief work.
Yeah, it has a little, now it's a little word for God. Big God, little God. Big God, little God. It's a non-capital word, G-O-D. Okay? But that's not what it says. Because it's a practical substantive, or not a practical substantive, but a predicate nominative. See, Greek takes care of all of it.
When was classic Greek used?
Classical Greek was just before and up to Koine Greek.
Thank you.
All right. Just before and up to Koine Greek. I said about 500 B.C. Then we have Koine Greek. And Koine means what?
Common.
Why was it called common?
Everybody used it.
Everybody in the known world, all those people that Alexander the Great conquered, he demanded that they speak in the Greek language. When the Roman Empire took over, the Greek culture conquered the Roman Empire. Do you girls, when you went to school, did you look at Roman numerals? Did you know that your teachers didn't know what they were talking about? Okay, these are some of those things. All right. Tell me what those are. These are not Roman numerals, are they? What are they? What are they, Brother Roger? That's Greek. That's Greek. The Romans adopted the Greek letters. This is how you did your math, with Roman numerals or Greek numeral. Greek letters is what they were, each one of them. If I did like this, what does that mean? That's 8. Okay. How about this one? 10. All right. How about this?
17.
Huh?
17.
18. 19. You just go on like this. You know, we had to do this when I went to school. You know. But it is not Roman numerals. It's Greek. All right. Now, how many of you read the preamble to the Constitution? Mm-hmm. In there, you'll see this. Like that. Now, how do you say that?
Congress.
In Old English before 1800, we had a S and a final S. Greek has an S and a final S. Hebrew has a lot of finals that are spelled differently on there. This is Congress. A lot of people, my teachers, when they were reading this to me, when we had to get up and read the preamble to the Constitution and all that, we had to say Congress. They didn't know what they were talking about. That's Old English. After 1800, we don't see that. I could brought books here to you tonight that had Old English and the printing of New English after 1800. All right, so you get on the, so you're learning a lot in this. You're learning a little bit already in the language, in the class tonight. Some of you, this is rehash, I know. All right, now I want you to go. We're actually in Genesis 2:14, but we're going to go all the way back, and we're going to do a little bit of review. All right, we're going to go back. I want you to go back to 1:1. And let's look at it just for a moment. 1:1. And I want someone here to read that for me in Hebrew. Young lady, can you do that?
No.
Oh, right over there in that book right there. If you open up that little book, pamphlet right there, both of you have one of those? All right, just turn right over there to the first one. Michael, can you read that for me in Hebrew? All right, Sharon, would you read that for me in Hebrew, please? Now, if you look up there, you'll see right above, you'll see the Hebrew, and right above it, you'll see how to say the Hebrew.
I don't think it's in ours.
It's in the old one.
Yeah, it's not.
No, not in these. They've got the new one.
Oh, okay.
They've got the one. See, I made sure they had one of those.
Okay.
All right. We're in Genesis 1:1, see. All right, now, how does it start off, Sharon?
Bereshit.
Let's say it real slow so everybody can hear.
Bereshit, Barah, Elohim, Eth, Hashemayim, Rieth, Haaretz.
All right. It's Bereshit, Barah, Elohim, Eth, Hashemayim, Rieth, Haaretz. Now, just let's say all that together. Now, girls, all of us together. Bereshit, Barah, Eth, Elohim, Eth, Hashemayim, we et Haaretz. Now, this is the first verse in the Hebrew Bible, okay? And it reads from right to left, by the way. It's backwards, okay? It's backwards to English. Everything on the east side of Jerusalem is right to left. Everything on this side is left to right, okay? Bereshit. All right. Now, the book of Genesis, we have the book of Genesis, we call it the book of Genesis. In the English language, we say Genesis. What language does the word Genesis come from?
Greek.
What is the word? Genomai. That's where it comes from. Genomai, or beginning, or to become. That's where it means. And Bereshit, we have this word is what? Now, most of your translations will see in the beginning, won't they? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with it, people? You Hebrew scholars. Marilyn, in beginnings. Why do we know it's in beginnings, plural? Well, tell me about the plural, Roger.
Okay, so the last two letters indicate an old plural form.
Okay, what we call a ancient, archaic Hebrew plural. Most of your translations will say in the beginning. First of all, we don't have the in here, do we? We don't have a definite article. What do we have on the front of that word? Beth, which is a preposition, which means what? In beginnings. All right, let's look at it. In beginnings. What beginnings? How many beginnings were there?
We don't know.
How many beginnings? Well, we can start talking about some of those beginnings right now. Now, first of all, if you went back in John 1 and 1, that where it says, in arche ein ho logos, what beginning is it talking about there? And that's singular, by the way. That's not plural. In arche, locative singular feminine. In, here we have Beth on the front of it. In Genesis, or in John 1 and 1, we have in. In, which comes, our English preposition, in, comes from it. That's in Greek. This is in English. See, we borrowed it. Okay, in is a preposition, page 137, in that analytical Greek lexicon. In beginning. Now here we have in beginnings. What's the difference? How about John 1:1? How far back it could go? Now you girls don't have a little chart yet, but we're going to get one to you here. And in these little charts right here. You can take this and you look up all of these. It's right, same thing as up here. Okay. I'll find another one here for you in a minute. Way back yonder. In beginning, singular. What happened in beginning, singular, Stephen? How about it there, Abe? What happened in singular beginning? What happened there? Hold on now, just hold on. You go home with the teacher, okay? We know that you know some of these things. All right.
What was the question again? What happened in the singular?
Why, where, in John 1 and 1, where in beginning is that? Go back and look up there in eternity, past. Now, where is it? Where? All the way back before anything else ever happened. God existed, and he kept on existing for how long? Aestonion, Tonion, or Barishith, or Olam. All of those descriptive words. It means in the eternities in the past. Way back there, before anything else was conceived, before anything else was created. Now, what are some of the first things? Now we have here, Barishith, Bara. We're going to look at that, Barishith. Now it says, in beginning, something else happened in this beginning, but what happened before this beginning? Right here, we're talking about the physical creation of God, aren't we, in Genesis 1 and 1. There's things that were created way before this, weren't there? What was created before this?
Spirits.
Who?
Spirits.
Spirits. And what else?
Angels.
Okay. Spirits and angels were created. Okay. Now, there's at least three orders of angels, aren't there? Now, God is triune and man is triune. The best way to teach the Trinity of God is Genesis 1:26, where he created man in his triune image. Not 1 John 5 and 7. What's wrong with 1 John 5 and 7? Who has King James? Anybody got King James? You got King James? The Episcopalian Bible? What are you doing carrying around that Church of England thing? Don't you know they burned Baptists until they ran out of firewood when that book came out? No. Genesis.
Schofield.
Okay.
Well,
Schofield
seven?
Is. Yeah, 1 John 5 and 7. Come here and read that for me. 1 John 5 and 7. 1 John 5 and 7. The letter of 1 John. 1 John, not the gospel according to John. John wrote how many books did he write? He wrote how many?
Five
books. He wrote the gospel according to John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Okay, 1 John 5 and 7.
It's generally agreed that this verse has no manuscript authority and it has been inserted. For this verse says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Okay.
Or Holy
a lot
Ghost.
Of people go to that to prove the Trinity. That is not valid.
Correct.
Because it wasn't in the original language. It's been added sometime down the road. Okay. And if you go and study, it's probably around 1000 A.D. or something, long after that. Okay? It has no foundation in the old manuscripts at all. But Genesis 1:26 does. Absolutely. And it's stronger than that. Now, we have, back in eternity's past, Christine, you know how to go turn that air conditioner back on, please. They're only give us 30 minutes at a time because we're not worth it. That's all we're worth, 30 minutes at a time. All right, now if you go back in Genesis, back in the creation, we're talking about creation versus evolution now. Now, if you go back, God created spirits and angels. Okay? Do we believe in angels and spirits?
Yes.
Okay, now, we have at least three orders of angels. We have Michael, and we have Gabe, and we have Lucifer. That's the name Lucifer, but his name is actually Hillel. Lucifer comes from what language?
Latin.
Latin. All right, that's a Latin. And the King James was taken out of the Latin Vulgate, so there's where we have Lucifer in the Old Testament, where it says, O Lucifer. It says, O Shining One is what it literally says. Lucifer, all right? Now, Michael is over what realm of angels? Michael. What realm of angels is he over? The spiritual realm. What realm of the angels is Gabriel over?
Communication.
Communication. And what realm was Lucifer over?
Material.
The material realm. Aha. So God created these three orders of angels to take care of everything that we have. Now, we have spirits. Now, a lot of people say spirits are angels. They are not. Spirits and angels are not the same. Angels have form. We live in 10 dimensions. We can't see the 10 dimensions, can't we? Angels come and go between dimensions. So do spirits. When angels come into our dimensions, in our world, what do they look like? Men. All right, they look like men. Some of them have wings. What are the ones that have wings look like?
Cherubim.
Huh? What are they called? Cherubim. How about seraphim? Those are the fiery angels. The fiery one, you know, it means burning ones, light, okay, shining ones, okay? So we have Michael, we have Lucifer, and we have Gabriel. Now, if you have a guardian angel, what realm will it be in?
We don't have guardian angels.
If we have guardian angels, we have guardian angels.
We have angels and lookovers, but we don't have particularly an angel that's a guardian.
Okay, hold on now, put your thinking cap on. What realm will our guardian angels, the ones that watch over us, what realm do they come from?
Spirit.
Lucifer's realm. Now, did all of Lucifer's angels go with him and all the spirit realms go with him? No. Okay. These guys that write these books, they need to talk to me first. All right. All right, now we've got Michael. We know that at least one-third of the angels fell, don't we? One-third fell. Part of them come from Michael's realm. That's the most powerful and dangerous ones. Those are the ones in military might. Okay? And then we have Lucifer's realm, which is the material realm, and we have Gabriel's realm, which is the informational realm. All of the people that Gabriel appeared to in the whole Bible, what happened? They wanted information. They wanted knowledge, didn't they? Okay. So now we have these realms. Now, within these realms, we have spirits. Spirits do not have form. Ministering spirits. Okay? Ministering spirits. Now, what do fallen spirits, what terminology do we call them?
Demons.
Demons are not fallen angels. Okay? Demons are not fallen angels. Demons are fallen spirits. And we have ministering spirits, and we have ministering angels that can minister to you in the spiritual and the mental and the physical realm. The physical realm was what we call the guardian angels. And those were the ones that followed God in Lucifer's realm, because that's the material realm, okay? Material realm. They take care of the material universe. Here we have these three things now. Now, all of this is done before we ever have a katabale. What's the katabale mean? Jesus stood as a lamb slain before the katabale of the cosmos. For the creation. Before there was really a literal creation. All of this was done. God doesn't build start building a house without having the plans to build it. He doesn't just build on and whatever. He had a plan. All right? And before he created one thing ever, before one thing was created, he already had the plan of salvation for man much later. Now, let's look at Genesis 1 and 1 quickly. Let's look at this from a theological, a literal grammatical. Okay. Barashith. Tell me about it. All right. It's locative plural. Okay, it's locative plural. How do we know it's locative, Brother Roger? In locative case. There's eight cases, by the way, that we look at Hebrew in and eight cases that we look in Greek in. And classical Greek has eight cases and Koine Greek has eight cases. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. And I know that sounds like a whole lot, but it really isn't. In beginnings, it tells you when. In, during that time. During, in beginnings. In beginnings. Now let's look at the second word, bara. Brother Stephen, you remember anything about this bara here? Tell me grammatically, would you conjugate that? We just declined that first word there. Declined means we told us what case it was in,
third
as a noun.
Third person, masculine, singular, perfect.
Okay, third person, masculine, singular, perfect. Third person, cowl, stem, masculine, singular, perfect. Perfect. Third person is what? Let's look at that now. In grammar, you have... The verbs, you have first, second, third, singular, and plural, okay? First person singular is what?
Me.
I.
I. Self.
Okay. Second person.
You.
You. And third person.
He,
she,
them.
He. Them. He, she, or it. Now, let's go to plural. This is singular. First person plural.
We.
We. Oh, these things are not working. We. Second person plural.
You all.
You all. That's okay, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Now, third person plural.
All your.
They. All right. They. So now that's how we do it. So every time we talk about conjugating a verb, we're going to conjugate a verb in one of these persons. Okay? So now the first one. And verbs can be conjugated in masculine and feminine in Hebrew. And in Greek, it's masculine, feminine, and neuter. But not in Greek. Not in Hebrew, that is. So it's either masculine or feminine. Now, this is third person singular. Masculine. So tell me who it is.
He.
Third person singular masculine. That's what that verb says. That's bara. Okay? Okay, third person singular. And that is calstem. What does calstem mean? Remember what calstem is in Hebrew, Brother Roger?
Continuous action.
No, calstem.
Oh.
Calstem. That's a simple verb form, root or stem, calstem. All right, remember there's how many stems?
Five.
Seven.
Seven.
Seven stems. Seven stems in Hebrew. All right. Now, so now we have a calstem, but it's in the perfect tense. Perfect tense. What's perfect tense mean?
Already done.
It's done. All right. It's done. Finished. A finished product. Now, if you take a Hebrew Bible, do you have your Hebrew Bible here with you tonight, Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
You've got that Jewish Publication Society? All right. We're going to show you the Jews don't know how to translate their own language. Roger, can you run back there and get that from her real quick and bring that up here and read it for me? Genesis 1 and 1. All right. Now, I want you to see Jewish Publication Society, they translated their Hebrew Bible, and they did not translate it, did they? What did they do there? They didn't translate it, they interpreted it.
Copied somebody else.
This is an interpretation. An interpretation. By the way, it starts out backwards. The back of the Bible is actually the front of the Bible. Okay. Brother Roger, you bring that up here to me, and I want you to read this. See, I won't be, it's on over there a little bit because it's got a bunch of preface to it. Still keep on going. Now you've gone too far. All right. There you go. All right. Now let's look at this here. What does it say? Barashith bara Elohim et hashamayim we et haaretz. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now tell me how they translated that.
When God began to create heaven and earth, the earth being unformed and void with darkness over the surface of the deep.
Okay, now what in the world's wrong with that? Began to create. It didn't say that. That's not what it said. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, in one of the eternities past, long time ago, he had created. He had created Elohim. 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 Let's look at Elohim for a minute. Elohim. What does Elohim mean, Brother Roger?
It's God in plural.
It's God in plural. What in the world? Now, there is singular. There is duel and there is plural. Why is there singular, duel, and plural?
Singular is one, duel is two, and plural is more than two.
That's right. So now we have the word for God. Now if you talk to a Muslim today, he said, well, that doesn't mean triune God. It just means he's big. They say that means great big, powerful. Grammatically, what does it mean, Brother Roger? Three or more. Now, we don't argue with grammar. We know that grammar says that. So we're not going to argue with the grammar. We're just going to look at that, okay? In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, he had created Elohim. Now, here is the word for the Creator God, which also means the triune God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all took part in this, okay? Now, we don't believe in three gods, by the way. We believe in one God that's manifest himself in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the only God you're ever going to see is what?
Jesus.
Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Jehovah God that walked in the garden. Jesus is Jehovah God that spoke the world into existence. Okay? That's the one. And this happened at a point of time. Okay? Because we know later on in other places in the Bible said he spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. That's how it happened. Boom! At one point of time it happened. Now, your sciences say that it happened in the Big Bang. I have no problem with the Big Bang. It happened at one point in time. They have recorded the sound of this happening. So what? Finally, they come back to the Bible and said it happened at a specific period of time. You know what the scientists believed before this? What did the science believe before they came up with a Big Bang idea, which agrees a lot with the Bible? Boom, it came to existence at one time. What did they believe before, Roger?
Plasma. Goo up in space.
They thought that all matter was eternal. Now they know it is not. It had a beginning. The Bible says, in the beginnings, he had created Elohim. Et Hashemayim. Et. What is et? That's a sign of the direct object. Give me the grammatical rule for that idea of the direct object. Brother Roger.
Extension or limitation of thought and verbal action.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Okay? That means it can go forward, backward, but it's going. Action's going someplace. Now we have et and we have Hashemayim. Now Hashemayim means what? We have a definite article in the front of it, don't we? Ha. In Hebrew, the definite article is just a definite article. In Greek, we have it number and gender and case for all three declensions and all eight cases, singular and plural, and even duel. Okay? It's real definite. Okay? Greek is. But in Hebrew, it says ha. So it says ha shemayim. What does shemayim mean? Shemayim. What is the root of this? Mayim. Mayim means what? Waters. How in the world do we get waters, heaven out of waters? What does it literally mean? What's the figure of speech that it talked about here? How do we get the uplifted waters? And what it means that the earth, when God created the earth, Let's look at it now. Science
catches up with the Bible sometimes. Did you know that? Sometimes it does. They close their minds, just read the Bible and study that real good. Study human, the human anatomy. They would not. When God created the heavens and the earth, one part of the earth was water and one part of the earth was eretz, which means what? Eretz. Dry ground. Dry land. So the everything, and this is what we call Gondwana or Pangaea. What's Pangaea mean? That is from Greek. That is a scientific term. Pan. All Gia. All earth and all water. Now they talk about the continental drift theory. Does the Bible teach the continental drift theory? Yes. In the days of Peleg, what happened? God divided the earth. He broke up the land masses, and we have the continents then. Okay? But before this, now when God created this here, right here, above, we'll just use blue on that one, if it works. Right up here, above the earth, was water, oceans. Mayim. Okay? Waters. We had an ocean in the sky, and that ocean in the sky was all the way around. It's a bubble. It wasn't strips. It was a whole complete bubble, like the earth was in a bubble, and all the light shined down through that bubble, and inside that bubble was a greenhouse effect. And every night a mist would come up, and we would have, you have greenhouses, don't you? Greenhouses? What do greenhouses do? It's the same temperature all the time. This is really beautiful because God had man in an incubator, so to speak. That's why men lived so long at this period of time. Because this lasted for how long was the earth like this? Until the days of Noah. And the days of Noah was the tenth man from Adam. And if you take those first 10 names, all of them are prophetic, telling about what's going to happen with the whole human race. If you look at it, we've done that before, but we'll do it again. Stephen.
Well, I believe you just finished answering it, but the blue circle you drew around that, you said it was water.
It's water, Mayim.
Okay, so my question is, was that water like solid or water like in humidity?
Water, solid. It's the ocean. Okay. Ocean and sky. How about clouds? Is water up there?
Yeah.
All right. Now here we have complete solid cloud mass. God is not limited by our minds. Okay? The Catholic Church said the earth was flat. Did you know that? Catholic Church enforced that the earth was flat. When Galileo came up, he said the earth is round. You recant that saying. That's not theologically correct. You say it's wrong or we'll kill you. And we're going to kick you out and anathemize you. According to the Muslim world idea, they have one earth that's egg-shaped, and they have seven of them that's flat.
When you say water, I think of it as a solid condensed form, but you're saying water in expanded vapor form.
No. That's not what I said. I said it was water. A solid ocean in the sky. We have to think, well, it's like the clouds today. It doesn't have to be like the clouds today. It's like a bubble. God brought water to this earth, he brought it down in rivers. Rivers from the oceans in the sky. Rivers were running down. And then it was raining, which we understand because we have clouds And we have rain today, and we have storms and stuff like that, but they never had that before. They had an ocean in the sky, this solid ocean, water, Mayim, all right, waters in the sky, and there was rivers running down to the earth, flooding the earth. And we have springs coming up and running out. We know what a spring is. We see springs. That's where all the rivers come from, springs. And then we had rain, which they didn't have before. And they, with rain, comes thunder and lightning, doesn't it? Let's go on a little bit further. Are you learning something, girls? I hope this is valuable to you. All right. In beginnings, in one of the beginnings, now what we have here is we have the physical universe. We have the spiritual, we have the angelic universe, we have all this created before this now, okay? God created caretakers,
before he created anything else. Now the caretakers over the material creation had to be created before the material was created. All right? Is that logical? Okay. And who were those?
Lucifer's bunch.
These are your guardian angels. This is over the physical world. Okay? This is over the physical world. All of the physical world. But we know that some of them rebelled. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 talk about what happened in Genesis 1 and 2. Okay? In beginnings, he had created Elohim et Hashemayim. And this means here, it is also a figure of speech. Now, how else could you translate this, Sharon? Hashemayim. Related to the word cosmos.
Oh.
The whole universe. The universe. The physical universe. Okay? The physical universe. God had created the physical universe. And then it says, we et. Say, we et. Now, we on the front of that is what? That's a conjunction. Page 253 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which is around here someplace. That's a conjunction. And then et, we have the sign of direct option. We know it. Force and power is going that way. Remember, the Hebrew language is a language of what? Action and strength and power. Okay? Now the universe was looked upon by scientists for a long time as eternal. But now they know it had a beginning. There was a time when nothing was there. But then it began. And they call it the Big Bang Theory. And of course, we know that the universe is exploding apart. But the Bible says what's going to happen one of these days? It's going to come all the way back together again. All right? They might catch up if they really work hard and get all the marbles in a row. Okay? Et Hashemayim, we et Ha'aretz. Now the word Ha there is what? Ha'aretz. That's a definite article. Eretz means what? The dry land or the earth. Okay, the dry land or the earth. Now God created the whole cosmos, and then he took, I just have the idea, the word picture here is that he took the earth and placed it in exactly the right place. Unlike the Muslims' idea of all these earths, a bunch of them flat and one round one, basically one egg-shaped one, we'll get it right, one egg-shaped one and all these flat ones. I don't know where he's got the other one stored. But the Bible says that the Lord created the heavens and the earth. This word earth there was put in exactly the right place. Now let's go to Genesis 1 and 2. And we'll read that together, Genesis 1 and 2. Because these two words are foundational to understand the creation of God correctly. Now the Jewish Publication Society, it says, in the beginning... And that's wrong, isn't it? It doesn't say the there. It says in beginnings. One of the beginnings. If they said God began to create, but what does the Bible say? He had created. That's totally wrong, isn't it? Began to create and he had created? That's a whole different world. We have one an interpretation and we have one a direct translation. We're going to translate the Bible. We're not going to interpret it. We Haaretz, Hayata Tohu Wavohu, We Hoshuk El Panei Tehom. Let's go back and do it again, because I want everybody to read that with me. We Haaretz, Hayata Tohu Wavohu, We Hoshuk El Panei Tehom, We Ruah Elohim. Mirachefeth. I've written this up. Al Panei Hamayim. All right. Now we could go back and we could tell you how the Septuagint should be translated here. They already made several mistakes in the Septuagint. Because they made the Septuagint and they translated the Septuagint according to what they believed. And what did the Jews believe when they translated the Septuagint, Brother Roger? Where had they been hauled off to for so many hundreds of years?
Babylon.
They believed in the Babylonian idea of creation. And the Babylonian idea of creation was that God created a chaos. And out of chaos, he brought order. Does God create chaos?
No.
That's totally diametrically opposed to the person of God. God creates order because he is a God of order. All right? We Haaretz. Here it says we have a conjunction we and an aha, a definite article, and eris. And the earth. Hayatah. Hayatah is what it says. Now, would you somebody tell me, conjugate that verb for me? Third person, feminine, singular. Cal what? Cal perfect. So now, let's translate that, one of you Hebrew scholars. Third person, feminine, singular. Who's that?
She.
The earth, she. Because the earth is called she. All right? In almost all societies, they look upon the earth as a feminine, don't they? In Greek society, in Hebrew, it's all feminine. Okay? And the earth, she. Now, it's cal perfect. Tell me about it. The earth, she what? Young lady? Christine? The earth, she what? She had what? Had become. Had become. The earth she had become. Tohu. What does that mean? Void. Emptiness. Destroyed. Confusion. The earth had become destruction. She had become destroyed. And then Wavohu. Wavohu. What's Bohu mean? Useless. Wasteness. Empty. Is that the way that was created before? No. What was there an Eden in the earth before this? In Genesis 1 and 1, was there an Eden in the earth? Okay, now what was Eden in the earth in the first Eden?
Satan's throne.
What?
Satan's throne. Lucifer's throne.
It's Lucifer's throne room. The earth was going to be Lucifer's throne room. It was. Eden was. Eden was Lucifer's throne room. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 and look at that real quick. We have to lay these foundations. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel. Right before 28. Let's get there. 28. 28 and verse number 11. And again the word of the Lord. Look at that, the bar. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. Now, this is a dual prophecy. How many of you know what a dual prophecy is? It has a dual purpose. It's talking about two different events. One of them was the king of Tyre. All right, Tyre and Sidon. The king of Tyre was a bad guy. And God is going to bring Alexander the Great against him. He's going to thrash him. But there was a period of time when this man, this goes way back in eternity past. Back a long time ago now, when God had created the heavens and the earth and they were perfect. And something happened to them. All right? Take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, you have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Well, was Lucifer perfect? Hallel. What does Hallel mean? The shining one. And this tells us and describes it. And it describes the first Eden, which was a throne room, which was on earth. You were in Eden, the garden of God, the guarded pleasure park of God. You were in Eden, the guarded pleasure park of God. And every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, the emerald, the gold, and the gold and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. In the Quran, on Muhammad's night journey, he had a little animal called a barak, al-barak. And that animal was about the size between a donkey and a mule. And he was covered with jewels. Beautiful, shining, and crowns and everything on him. Just exactly described, just exactly what you see here. You think maybe he might have been deceived? Now, Aisha, one of Muhammad's wives, said that when he made that night journey, now he was in Mecca, and Gabriel appeared to him, okay, and transported him to Jerusalem to the furthest away mosque. Now, if you go back in history, you find out there's no mosque in Jerusalem at that time at all. But this is what he said, okay? He takes him there, and he meets Jesus and Adam and all these prophets, and Muhammad teaches them how to pray. And Allah God takes him to the third heaven, not third heaven, seventh heaven. I forgot they got seven of them. And he goes through each one of them, and he sees all these different masters over. Moses is over one, Abraham's over one, all these different places. And then God does a great favor to him because he lets him marry the Virgin Mary, and she was still a virgin. That's his one of his wives. This is a legend, you know. This is in the Hadith, the Ahadith, and the Quran, okay? And it's describing this animal with all exactly the same descriptions as what you have here. I want you to understand that as you're looking at this. Who is this?
Lucifer.
This is Lucifer. He's beautiful, wasn't he? He was in the throne room of God. He was in the original Eden of God. You anointed cherub who covers. I placed you there. You were in the holy government or mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness or sin became in you. The abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned, and therefore I have cast you profane from the mountain of God. Oh, I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. He was the one over the material creation of God. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was filled lifted up because of your beauty. You were corrupted by your wisdom, by reason of your splendor. And I cast you down. I put you before the kings, and they may see you. Now let's go over to Isaiah 14. Go to Isaiah 14 now. Isaiah 14. Turning my Bible backwards. I'm doing Hebrew, so I'm going in the wrong direction. Isaiah 14.
What was that last verse you read?
I don't know. I already left that one. All right. Now let's look at this one. Now, Isaiah 14. And verse number 12. Now here we have the King James gives us the name Lucifer, because the King James basically was translated from the Latin. The Latin. The King James, by the way, was translated from very poor manuscripts. The Latin Vulgate, which Jerome translated during his period of time, and he just took manuscripts from all over, threw them together, didn't discriminate what was what and what was added or anything else. He just threw it all together. The King James Bible was translated from the Textus Receptus, or Stephen's text, which was translated from the Latin into the Greek. It went from Hebrew and Greek, Old Testament, from the Hebrew Old Testament and Greek Old Testament into Latin. The New Testament came from Latin to Greek. Okay. And we have several translations here. And then we have the King James Version was translated from the Latin and the Greek manuscripts that were translated from Latin. Okay. So we've got several different no eyewitnesses. That's why we have problems with the text of the King James Bible, because it was corrupted. Simple as that. And this is where we get the name here, Lucifer. And verse number 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Hallel. All right, now it says in King James, it says what? O Lucifer. Lucifer is the Latin word for Hallel. Star of the morning. Star of the morning. One of the titles for Allah is the Star of the Morning, or the Shining One. I want you to understand that. Okay? O Star of the Morning of the Dawn, you have been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. What nations were on the earth? What was on the earth? Lots of animals. A lot of animals on the earth. Lots of vegetation on the earth in Genesis 1 and 1. And now we have fossil fuel. We have all kinds of stuff because of what happened. This is what we call God's permissive will. God permitted Satan to do this because he had a plan. God's eternal purpose. God's plan of the ages. Okay? So he allowed him to do this, and this is what happened. And this was the judgment on the earth, and the earth became cursed because of that. And then God took a little garden that we were talking about over there in Genesis, where we're going to go back to it pretty soon, and he planted it himself, made it beautiful again. And he told Adam to guard it with his life, because the bad people were still around. The bad angels, the bad spirits were still there. He had to guard it from them. God began, he recreated the earth. He just reconstructed the earth over there. You've been cut down to the earth. You who weakened the nations. You who said in your heart, I will ascend up to heaven and call, raise my throne above the stars of God. Who's the stars there? All the other angels. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. Which way is heaven? North, 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 north. Above the earth. Out into the third heaven, not the seventh. Your Mormons have seven heavens and your Muslims have seven heavens. And I will ascend up above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrown down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. That's verse number 14. We're going to quit right there, and now we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. We have that down. The earth was created perfect. The earth became destroyed. Now, in Genesis, the first chapter, we have the reconstruction of the earth. And then we have the earth reconstruction and planted again. There were seeds there, and God caused the seeds that were in the earth to sprout. And I'm sure he made some new ones, too. And what was all this vegetation for? To support the human race that he was going to create. Okay? And he created Adam in his image. And the earth, she had become desolation and waste. And darkness, Wichoshek. And darkness was upon the faces of the deep. Spirit Elohim. Spirit Elohim. Merichapheth, it says there. Merichapheth. That's a PL stem. What does PL stem mean in Hebrew, Brother Roger?
Great force.
Great force. And it's a participle. And it's feminine and singular. How about the name, how about the word Shekinah? And El Shaddai in Hebrew. Shekinah. Now that's not in the Bible, but it is a term that all scholars know about the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory, what kind of a word is that gender?
Feminine.
We have feminine. Now, in the New Testament, we have masculine, feminine, and neuter. The word spirit in the New Testament is in what gender?
Neuter.
Now, the Holy Spirit is masculine and gender. But the word is neuter. Now, what describes the word many times will have masculine, what we call pronouns, describing it. But the word pneuma is a neuter word, so we have that. And here we have the Holy Spirit of God, and is spoken of in the feminine gender. It doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is feminine in gender, nor neuter in the New Testament. But that is the language we deal with. Okay, you have to remember the language. Don't try to make it walk on all fours all the time. Okay, but here we have the nurturing, feminine, loving side of God. The El Shaddai, which means what? El Shaddai. What does that mean? El is what? God. What? Shaddai.
Most powerful.
Most powerful. But what does it literally mean?
Providing provision.
It means breast, the woman's breast, the where she feeds her children, the nourishing one. It really means the all-nourishing
provider.
One.
Provider.
The all-nourishing provider. Or all-providing one. We have this. It is the all-powerful one. But he's all-powerful because he nourishes and takes care of everything that he created. Okay? And that's the idea here. And then Spirit of Elohim was brooding incessantly. What we call here is mourning over and suffering over. Brooding. Cherishing. Cherishing intensely. Upon the faces of the waters. Spirit God. Genesis 1 and 2 will be just like in the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit God woos each and every lost sinner and tries to call them to you. I put out a sermon just before I came here, the voice of the Spirit God. You hear the voice of the Spirit God in your heart, calling you to salvation. All right, Spirit. Calling you to salvation. What?
The Holy Spirit.
Hell, the Holy Spirit. Now let's go over to Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, bought a sheaf, 2. And where were we? 2 and verse...
2:15.
Okay. 2 and verse... Okay. 2:15 now. Go over to 2:15. You can turn in your Bible also to 2:15. Now man has been created, hasn't he? He's created in Genesis 1:26. Let's go back. We got to look at that first. We got to catch up our other students. 1:26. Go back to 1:26. This is where you teach the Trinity, by the way. This is where you teach the Trinity, not 1 John 5 and 7. Wayomer. Elohim. Naaseh. Adam. Bi Matzmanu. Kidmatunu. We Yerdu. Vidgot, or Vidgot, that is. Hayam. Uviof. Hashemayim. Uba Behema. Uvikal. Haaretz. Uvikal. Ha Remes. Ha Remes. Al Haaretz. Now, and said Elohim, we shall make. Now look at that. Naaseh. That is first person construct plural, cal cohorting. First person construct plural. What is that? First person construct plural. We. Now we have, now to the Muslim world, we have a plural verb here. It's not in singular, it's not in duel, but it's in plural. Why? It's describing Elohim, which is a creator God. And Elohim is not singular, he's not duel, but he is plural, three or more. Okay? So we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the Father and Son and Holy Spirit are going to create man in his image. His spiritual image, his physical image, and his sovereign image. Let's look at this again. And he said, Elohim, we shall make for ourselves. That's cohortive in meaning, Brother Roger. Cohortive means what?
Subjunctive.
By his own volition. God made man because he wanted to. If you go to the book of to Revelation, why did God create everything? Because he wanted to. It was of his volition. He wanted to share his glory and his universe with someone. He wanted to. He didn't have to. He wanted. Okay? First person construct plural, cal cohortive. Man, Adam. What does Adam mean? Adam. Say Adam. Adam, what does that mean?
Adam.
Huh?
Red.
It means red. Earthy. Earthy. All right. Now it says here, Bitsalemenu. Bitsalemenu. In our footprint. In our, basically, in our shadow casting likeness, literally. In our spiritual likeness. In our shadow casting likeness. When you cast a shadow, people used to say that was your spirit following you. When you fall down, you don't have a spirit, do you? No spirit. Fall down. In his spirit, spiritual likeness, this is the word, Bitsalemenu. In our spirit, in our shadow casting likeness. And then it says here, Kidmatenu. In the middle of that word is Dom. Dom means what? Blood. In our blood flowing likeness. So now we have man created in the spirit likeness from the Holy Spirit. Now we have it in the blood flowing likeness. And who is the second Adam? Who is the image of the invisible God?
Jesus
Christ, Jehovah in the flesh. Okay, now we have we Yerdu. In his sovereign will, in his sovereign likeness, who's this? God the Father. God the Father. When Jesus prayed, he's praying to God the Father. This is the sovereignty of God. Okay, the mind of God, so to speak. Man is created in his physical image. He's created in his spiritual image and in his sovereign image. Now, God gave him power over the whole universe and everything on the earth. He's going to put him over that. He's going to take Satan's place. He's going to take Lucifer's or Hillel's place. Satan actually didn't become Satan until he stood against God. Satan means one who stands against. Hillel means a shining one. Lucifer means a shining one. And then Vidgot, in the fish, among the fish, and among the sea, and the wing flappers in the heavens, and all the domesticated livestock, and in all the earth, and in all the small creepers, the creeping ones upon the earth. So now we have God creating man in his triune image and his sovereign image. Did God create Lucifer, Hillel, in his sovereign image? Did he? Tell me about it.
He gave him volition.
He gave him volition, sovereignty. And what did he put him over?
Everything.
The material creation of God. He put Michael over what? Now, could Michael sin? Could Michael have sinned? Yeah, because he had a volition also. He had a sovereignty. And that sovereignty was over the what? The spiritual realm. And how about Gabriel? Did he have sovereignty? Did he have sovereignty over what?
Community.
The communication realm. Okay. Are you enjoying this? I hope you're learning something, all of you. A little bit of review here. We're past time quitting. I don't even know that we got any more time on here. It ends in 3 minutes, it says. So we got 3 minutes. That would be 80 minutes. That's the end of that audio tape. All right. Do you have any questions so far? Do you have any questions so far?
I'll do when you get to the end.
Okay, we're at the end. All right. We only got 3 minutes left to record. Christine, you have something. Any of the young girls, do you young ladies have anything you want to ask about what we've studied so far? Do you understand it better than you did before when you walked in here? Just a little bit? Okay. Steve.
Okay, so I was reading Guthrie's book.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know there's probably a lot of different opinion about that. So right here in Genesis 1:1, and then we jump into 1:2, it was void without form. Then we jump into number 3, and God said, "Let there be light."
Yeah. Let light become.
So is this where God's recreating?
He's reconstructing. It literally says he's reconstructing.
In the Hebrew, it's reconstructing.
Reconstructing.
And where do you get that at? In verse 3?
No. When it talks about this was the family lineage and the reconstruction of the earth. We did that last week, I think. Let's go back real quick. We don't have much time because I want to get this on. Now, let's see here. Were you here last week?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Okay. Roger, where was it? Where?
2:15.
Yeah.
You said it's on the family lineage?
It's the family lineage of the heavens and the earth and the reconstruction of the earth. And it uses the word reconstruction there, which we looked at last week. I'll have to come back and...
How about 2:4?
Okay. Where is it?
Look at 2:4.
2:4? 2 and verse 4. Okay. Okay, that's created. Oh, reconstruction. Asoth. Okay, let's read that. Ele tolidoth hashemayim viharetz bi hib badriam biom asoroth. These, the histories, the family histories of the heavens and the earth, in them being created in the day to reconstruct them.
Where is that at?
Okay, that's Genesis 2 and 4. Reconstruct them, Jehovah God, the heavens and the earth. Now, he uses that term in several other places also. This is when he reconstructed the creation. That which he had created.